My name is Bob Perot, and it is Wednesday, so it is our time with Dr. Paula Stewart, Medical Officer of Health for the Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark District Health Unit. Dr. Stewart, welcome back to Lake 88.
Thank you. Boy, the timing for this media interview is really superb, isn't it?
Yes, it was.
This morning.
Holy smokes. I was away last week, so didn't get to speak to you last week, and we'll get into that in a moment. But the week before, and I think maybe the week before, if not the week before that. Anyway, when you come up on the screen for my Zoom, we're both looking. We're both reading. We're both looking at stuff because developments have happened, and we're literally dealing with breaking news. So we may as well get to that first because we're talking about that. So March 21st is when the first stage of the mask removal, if you will, the removal of the mandate will take place. Your thoughts on what's happened here today?
Yeah, I listened to Dr. Kieran Moore's press conference about it afterward, and it's what I've been saying all along. At some point, the government has to get out of the business of telling us what to do. It has to at some point come to the point where we make decisions as organizations, what's best for the organization, our employees and the people we serve, and the decisions we make as individuals with our families and friends. And so he was very clear about it, that we've reached the point with Omicron that we understand about it, that the hospitalization rates are low enough, that we know what we need to do as individuals, families, and organizations. So now is the time to lift the directions that the province is giving, has been giving, and give it back to us. And that's really what this is about. It's very interesting. At the very top of the briefing that we are given, it says, as provincial directions are revoked, individual organizations still have the authority to keep requirements in place. And so that's probably the most important thing out of this. And then I think we're expecting that that the mandatory vaccination policies would then, because each organization can have their own. And we have ours, and so that wasn't a surprise at all. And then March 21st, that's when the masking mandates end for most, except for sort of the highest risk settings like transit. You can imagine the Toronto transit and subways and stuff. People still have to wear masks there, or on buses that we have in Brockville, and still in congregate settings where still concerned that there's a risk that the virus could spread easily. So long-term care, retirement homes, group homes, jails, that kind of thing. And Kieran was very clear that individuals can still opt to use masks. And in fact, he went so far as to say that it's been shown both here and with other countries that wearing masks makes a difference as both source control, which, so that it keeps what you have in your nose and throat in there and not spread it. And also if you use a medical mask or an N95 mask, well fitted, it protects you as well. So, so I think we were heading this way, and now we know it. So now we've been talking about preparing ourselves for that. Interesting, in schools, the masking will also be lifted on March 21st, and they're going to remove the daily active screening and on-site screening, and also removing cohorting and perhaps some other measures. So we'll wait to see what direction we get from Ministry of Education. But so that will be kids coming back from March break. And then remember when we did the exit phase of the Reopening Ontario regulations, then they still had to have a safety plan, they still had to have the masking, and they still had to have passive screening. Those will be gone as of March 21st as well. It'll be up to organizations to decide what they want to do to protect their employees and other people. So interesting, eh? And then all the way to the end of April before they remove the provincial direction for masking in those other high-risk settings. So we knew we were heading here. Now we know the date.
Yeah, exactly. I like how you put it, and how he's put it as well, that this is essentially going to be left up to the organizations, because really you can't have a blanket approach to these types of things. When you get to the point where we're at now, it would make a lot more sense for people who are working 2 feet away from each other to wear masks, whereas people who are in an office setting, and everybody has their own office, or their own cubicle a distance away from somebody, it doesn't necessarily have to wear them. So it isn't a one-size-fits-all solution. And this is really, it really puts the onus and the responsibility on the organizations, which I love.
Yeah, I do too. And if you're an organization where you have a lot of interaction with people without a mask, like at a food premise, then you might decide you're going to keep going because you're protecting your workforce. Mm-hmm. So it's doing the risk assessment. And so, it's nice. It's nice to actually have a date now. I think we sort of, I've been wondering when, and sort of I've been talking about this for a month now. To have a date is means that now we know when it's going to happen. So it's good.
We all get to make our own choices. I mean, it doesn't matter if you work in a place where they say you don't need to wear the mask or whatever. If you want to still wear it, you can wear it. Yeah. There's nothing against that. And same with going to stores and restaurants and whatever. If you want to do it, if that's what makes you feel comfortable, or if you're someone who's at higher risk, then by all means.
Yeah, exactly. And the province has been doing a series of surveys with a cohort of people, I guess, right across the province for the last 2 years. And so I looked at the data for December, and 41% of people said, from the East region, said that they would still wear masks in public places even if it wasn't required. Yeah. So I think that's close to half. And so I, once again, as I said before, it's be respectful of people's decisions. People who are immune compromised need to be thinking about greater protection. We can do this.
We certainly can. And we're going to be talking about this for the weeks to come. There's no doubt about it as things evolve here as well. So let's move on. Let's talk about a few other things here as well. And as always, we do like to talk about the status of the COVID situation in Lanark, Leeds, and Granville. So I'll let you take that.
Yeah. So it's still present, I think.
It is.
When I looked at the data yesterday, I think we had 45 new infections that were spread over the last few days, because we get the lab report where the person might have developed symptoms before. So it's still there. The good thing is that the wastewater surveillance is still trending down, which is really encouraging. We have fewer infections, new infections with the PCR testing. Hospitalizations are still low. We've got fewer outbreaks going on. So we're all heading in the right direction. And if we keep on following those precautions that we've talked about, then I think then we can do things, you know, which is the most important thing. You know, I had my big five. Well, I've added a sixth. So my big five were stay home when sick, the vaccine, 3 or 4 doses, the medical or N95 well-fitted mask, distancing, avoiding crowds, hand washing, sanitizer. I added a sixth one. Go outside or make sure there's good ventilation, because now people can start. We had a visit with cousins who live in the Hamilton area, and we just stood on our driveway, nicely distanced apart, and had a great visit for half an hour. So I'm adding number six, get outside.
Great. And that's, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. My grandson and I have been going out daily. You know, it's been nice enough to go out and have a little walk for, well, I'd like 25 minutes, but he wants to go for an hour type thing. So it's, but it's getting out, and the difference, oh my goodness, it feels so good. It really does. Just breathing that air when it's not stupid cold or raining or whatever. And we've had a good string of days where we can do that. When I was talking to Dave this morning, we were talking about how things are locally, and you said the hospitalizations, they continue to be low, and they are. I mean, like, anytime you're, you know, 10, it goes from, like, let's say 10 to 4 or whatever.
6, 7.
Yeah, exactly. So it's sort of in that range. But what continues to shock me is that there continues to be deaths that are added. And we do have another one today. Again, probably looking in the same type of situation as the other, someone with a condition that had been pre-existing that could make the situation worse for them.
Yeah, exactly. In their 70s, living in the community. And so it's a fascinating thing, sort of this dichotomy of most infections are milder. And we're saying, think about taking a risk so that if it's something that's really important to you, and we still have people who are dying. Yeah. So it's so. And so, like, I just have a sense that we have to collectively really think about those people in our lives that are vulnerable, that have underlying chronic conditions, and think always, what can we do? They may have decided that going out and about was really important to them, frankly, and that is their decision. But I think it's still, we need to respect the virus.
You do. And I'll tell you, you know this, a week ago, last Tuesday, I tested positive and immediately went into shutdown mode. I tested positive a total of four times over the course of that week. Because, I mean, hey, you try to find things to pass your time, right? So our entire household did. And it's not a cold. I'll tell you that. I didn't get it serious. You know, it wasn't serious for me, but the symptoms, what I could not get over was how quickly they would change. Yeah. And it would go from, you know, literally feeling like a cold to all of a sudden I'm freezing and then realize that I've had a fever that's shot up out of nowhere. And then, you know, I'm next thing you know, I'm sound asleep, but I'm talking in my sleep. I'm delusional a little bit, you know, and having lucid dreams and that type of thing.
Yeah.
And it just changed and changed. And even now we're a week out and we're still doing our best to, you know, avoid people as much as possible to be as safe as possible, because as I said, everyone here got it. It still lingers. You go one day and you feel okay, everything's fine, but then you wake up the next day and you're like, oh, well, this is what's going on now. And you'll have something come back, like tightness in the chest all of a sudden and coughing attacks or whatever. I've got the weirdest thing going on, and I did a little research on this. You know how people talk about losing the sense of taste?
Yeah.
Mine has been altered. So that when there's certain, if it's something that maybe like something acidic based, like a salad dressing or something like that, it tastes putrid.
Oh, dear.
And every now and then, because I'm an idiot, I'll say, oh, gee, I wonder if that's still the case. And then I'll try something and I retch. It's just terrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, so there's things like this that are going on. And, you know, we did get really sick. And everybody did. Everybody, you know, I would consider to be pretty darn sick, not need to go to the hospital sick. But nonetheless, and then I start thinking, what if we had been around somebody who, you know, if we didn't care and we thought, oh, well, I still want to go out and get this or whatever. And then next thing you know, we're spreading this to someone. I see how it can happen. It's not fun.
No, it isn't. And that I think is probably the more common sort of thing. And it does. COVID creeps up on you. Influenza hits you like a ton of bricks right away. Mm-hmm. COVID doesn't. It creeps up. It creeps up and you think you're settling down and then something else happens. Yeah. I'm sorry you had to go through that. It's not pleasant. There are some people, especially children, who really only have congestion and that's it. And some people only have a headache and a sore throat. But I would say what you describe is more sort of the average sort of thing from people who have talked to me about their symptoms also. Yeah. So it's not pleasant.
No, it isn't. But anyway, so that's why we've just got to be very careful as we continue to live well alongside COVID, as you've put it many times. And this goes back to being careful.
Yeah. And I think having the vaccine would have shortened that not feeling very good for very long and prevented you from really developing serious infection where you end up in hospital. So I'm really pleased that you are all
well,
vaccinated.
And that's the thing, like the vaccines, absolutely. You know, there's no doubt in my mind. And also the fact that Omicron may not be as serious as some of the other ones that are out there, but if this had been a year ago, who knows what could have happened, you know, not only, I'm not saying, you know, with me, but with all of these people, too many to test at this point, you know, anyway, I'm not going to go on and on about it, but nonetheless, we've talked about going into public places and so on, but just maybe to bring things top of mind for people now that we are in under 2 weeks going to not have to wear those masks anymore. We're really looking at sort of doing our own pre-screening and making sure that we're well aware of what's going on with ourselves.
Yeah, I think like those big six now that I talked about are absolutely critical. And it's interesting because I framed the conversation with you about going into public places. Consider what to do when the provincial regulations change. And I think that I've been thinking a lot about people who are really, really concerned about going out after March 21st, when some people won't be wearing masks. And we know that that the mask keeps the virus in. And so they will be wearing the mask. And so then the distancing is going to be really important to people. So, and I think you've got a week or so to sort of think out all right, what am I going to do now? And what are the things that I still need to be doing? Do I go and I go shopping early in the morning when no one's there? Like really kind of for people who really are concerned, you've got a little bit of time to sort of think out what are the things that you really need to have in place so that you're going to feel okay to go out. So I empathize with people who are going to struggle with this a little bit.
Now, when it comes to the vaccination, the bookings are still underway and so on. Let's talk a little bit about the vaccination numbers. And are you still pleased with the way things are going?
Yeah, it's really slowed down. We're inching up like 0.1, 0.2 and so on. And that's okay. I think people have made a decision. So we don't have as many fixed sites because we could have had 600 people there and we had 50 sort of thing. And we didn't want to have staff there that weren't needed. So I think that we've done well as a group, you know, fully vaccinated. So that's two doses. We're not going to use that term anymore, though, because I think fully vaccinated is actually means two doses in the primary series and the booster. And it means for people who are immune compromised, three doses in the primary series and then the booster. So I think that's sort of a provincial term, which I think will stop. Almost 92% have had two doses, and the vaccination for the 70% for 18 plus have had their third dose, which is phenomenal. And the rates are into the 80s and 90s for the people over 60, which is exactly what we need because that's the group that is more likely to have chronic health problems. So pleased with that. We're really, the nurses and admin assistants are really excited about driving around in the little RV, taking them to all little places all over the place. So please go to the website, check when they're coming to a neighborhood near you. It's just walk in. They're going to be sort of a couple of hours here, a couple of hours there. They'll have all the vaccines so anyone can come to it. We're hoping that in March break when kids are home and parents are there with the little ones that they would think about coming. So I think we'll continue to offer opportunities as people want to get the vaccine. And we're still getting questions from parents and others about the vaccine safety and so on. And so our website has a really good link to a website that's particularly geared to children. It's from the Children's Hospitals, www.parenthomework.ca. So if you are a parent and are still unsure about the vaccine, please go to the website, see if you get the information there. If not, contact your healthcare provider, send a webmail, go to one of the clinics and ask questions. They're good vaccines. Kids are doing really well with them. And we want parents to feel comfortable with the decision that they're going to make. And the pharmacies are still giving out vaccines. So we've got access here.
Yeah, for sure. Access to the vaccines, access to the tests as well. Yeah. The rapid tests, you can get them everywhere now, which is great.
Yeah.
Again, what a change from what we had before. But they're such a useful tool. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. But yes, indeed. So there are definitely resources out there. And I love the fact that you've got that page up there just to answer some questions. And this isn't Dr. Whoever from YouTube or anything like that. These are the actual health experts who have put this together, including our own Dr. Stewart. So we're very happy to have this trustworthy resource that we can put forth out there. There's no doubt about it. Okay. So we're going to move on to Ask Dr. Stewart now.
Yes.
You're all set for that. We've only got two questions today. Again, if anybody would like to get their questions in for Ask Dr. Stewart, all you have to do is email us at info@lake88.ca. Put Ask Dr. Stewart in the subject line. Get it to us before Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock and we'll get it on. We'll get it to Dr. Stewart and she'll answer your question live on the air like she is just about to do. Okay, so here we go. Question one. Does the health unit have a plan to provide COVID-19 vaccines to our newly arriving Ukrainian community members? Some are fleeing and most likely unable to gather up their personal medical records. Great question.
Yeah, very, very good question. And we are poised and ready to move as we need to because we've had this experience before. And it's not only the COVID-19 vaccine, but we have found in other situations that children don't necessarily have a record of the vaccine to be able to go to school. And the younger ones may have missed out in the movement and so on. So yes, we will absolutely be ready and do more actually than vaccines actually provide provide support for people to connect with other resources and look at other kind of health issues that they may have. So we're waiting to see what happens provincially and what direction we get, or whether there are groups that are sponsoring people. So yes, it is front of mind as well. It's one thing we can do in a really, really bad situation.
For sure.
Yeah, I feel for people.
Absolutely. The news that keeps coming out every day it's just shocking. And some of the things that have been posted are just absolutely unbelievable. So I think the last thing that they need to worry about is, having a piece of paper about their vaccination status when they arrive here in Canada or wherever. So anything that we can do to help them in that regard makes a lot of sense.
And mental health concerns, that's what we've had before, really serious. And so connecting people into the mental health resources,
Yeah, because we've had people come here before escaping violent situations.
Yeah.
So this isn't something that we're unprepared for. And sure, the vaccinations are just a part of it. You're right, though. Like talking about the mental health aspect of it and, what a culture shock for some of these people coming into different areas. So definitely.
And what they've experienced there and,
Unbelievable. Okay, number two. An elderly couple went to Almont to get their fourth shots, but they were told they didn't need them unless they were in a nursing home or retirement residence. She's mid-80s and he's over 90, with care coming to their home on a regular basis to accommodate his needs for oxygen and other things. Is the fourth shot necessary in their case, in your opinion? This is the biggest question when it comes to the fourth shot. People keep saying, who gets it? Why can't I get it?
So the province has only authorized it for people in long-term care or retirement homes. And that's because they're in a situation where there are a lot of people living together, and they're at increased risk of, if virus comes into that home, they're at increased risk of being exposed to it. And so that's why they want to have the fourth dose. And so that's who's allowed right now. Wait and see if it's expanded beyond that to other older people. I think that my suggestion would be to really focus on doing that risk assessment about who's coming into the home. If you're concerned at all, make sure they wear a well-fitted mask and they keep the distance. So I think you're right that people who are in the mid-80s and over 90 could become really sick with COVID. So while they're not eligible for the fourth dose of vaccine, what other protective measures can be put in place so they're not exposed to the virus?
Indeed. All right. Well, I know a lot of people are waiting what would be their fourth dose, maybe a booster next fall. Who knows?
Let's see.
The jury's still out on that, but we'll see what happens. Maybe things keep trending in the direction that they are now. And in the fall, we're talking about something different. A guy can dream, right?
It's interesting. It's so that this Omicron is now behaving more like the winter respiratory viruses. So let's see if we're learning all the time, right? We've only had Omicron since what, mid-December, just before Christmas. That's like 3 or 4 months. So let's see how it behaves, and let's see how we behave in terms of keeping it dampened, and let's see.
Test will be coming up later this month, and then the end of April. When
it's going to be interesting. I'm going to be looking at the absenteeism from schools on that last week in March and first part of April, and just see.
Very good point. Very good point. Dr. Stewart, as always, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. We look forward to our next conversation, which will be 1 week from today.
Sounds good.
All right. Our guest today on In Focus, Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Paula Stewart, from the Leeds, Grenville and Lanark District Health Unit. Remember, if you have a question for Dr. Stewart, you can get it to us at info@lake88.ca. Put Ask Dr. Stewart in the subject line. Get it to us before 10 a.m. on Wednesdays, and we'll be happy to get those questions answered on the air. I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and have a wonderful afternoon.